So we're on the bottom of Ches Amud Beis. We start from the last Mishnah, Ein Bein. This is like the fourth, fifth Ein Bein we've seen. So the Mishnah says, Ein Bein Svarim L'Tfilin U'Mezuzos Ela She'as Svarim Nichtavim B'Chalashon V'Tfilin Mezuzos Ein Nichtavim Nichtavos Ela Ashuris. So what does it mean? There's no difference between Svarim, which refers to Tanakh, Rashi tells us, versus Tfilin Mezuzos in another category. The only difference between the two is that Sifrei Torah and all of Tanakh can be written in any language one wants, and the Tefillin Mezuzos can only be written in Lashon Ashuris. Lashon Ashuris, Rashi tells us, is Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew. So you could write Sifrei Torah in English, in whatever language you choose, French, Spanish. Tefillin Mezuzos must be in Hebrew, though. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer. Af v'svarim lo hitiru b'shichtu el yivanis. That's not true. There's only one language that we allow one to write Tanakh in, and that's Greek. Either Hebrew or Greek for Svarim, for that's Tanakh, and Tefillin Mezuzos is only Hebrew. So that's a Machlokas Tanakama and Rashbag regarding other Svarim, whether Yivanis or any other language as well. So Gemara is Medayik now, Hol Inyan, Hol Tofrin, Begidin, Ulatame Sadaim, Zev, Zev, Shavim. But with respect to sewing it with the sinews of the animal, they're both in agreement that you need Gidim. Let's see, Rashi explains what this means. You see, Rashi, this is five lines from the bottom, the first Rashi on this Gemara. The Tofrin Begidim, Kol Sfreim, this Asun Begilyam, V'halach Moshe Sinai, who, B'tfilin Mezuzos, Sheyi Tfun Begidim, V'seva Torah, Nechlum, so, the Halach Moshe Sinai is, you see tefillin has to be, you ever see like the way it's sewed together? The way it's sewed together uses Gidim of the animals. And then, just like Svarim, tefillin Mezuzos require the Gidim. So too, Sefer Torah, Menechlu B'Maseches Makos, V'Sefer Torah She'tafer B'Pishon. Let's say you use Pishon, some type of flax, to sew the different parchments together. Hasha Shemin and Masisin command apostle. We hold, and this Mishnah apparently holds like the opinion that Pishon is disqualifying. It's possible for the Sefer Torah. You have to use Gidin for Sefer Torah as well, which is how we paskin. So that's how they're equal in that regard. And also, with respect to Mimitami Yadayim, just like we know, we saw the a couple of days ago, if you touch the cloth of different Sfarim, it's going to be Mimitami Yadayim. So if you touch Tefillin or Mezuzah, it's Mimitami Yadayim. So therefore, as I mentioned this, I think, last week, you're supposed to really wash your hands before touching the cloth of Mezuzah or the cloth of Tefillin.
But here is the opposite, right? I think that the Gidin is for Mezuzah and Tefillin.
Right, so we're taking a halacha from Tefillin Mezuzos and applying it to Sefer Torah.
And my question is, when they say Ein Bein Sfarim, does it include Sefer Torah?
A Sfarim means Sefer Torah.
Is it Tanakh, including
including Torah. Yeah. See, Rashi on the Mishnah, the first Rashi on that Mishnah, he says Sfarim means Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. Yeah, there's
but we're not Yoitzer reading. I mean, I guess tomorrow might is going to go there. I mean, unless it's a Shabbat Shur, you're not Yoitzer.
And Pashas is that you would be Yoitzer. This would be a full-fledged Sefer Torah, Misha. Yeah, it's good. You could read Kriyas Torah from it, or have all the dinim of Kedusha Sefer Torah.
Well, it says Ashuris. It doesn't mean Ashuris the type of letters. It means the language, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
Asa Gemara is going to discuss that language versus letters. Okay. Now there's a discussion. How exactly do we find Gidin with regard to mezuzahs? Mezuzahs is a very short parsha.
Right.
So why you have to do it? So I guess perhaps let's say a person wrote very small parsha on each of the cloths they could tie together. Not that you need to. You could certainly make a parchment that's long enough to keep all the mezuzahs, but if a person happened to write on two different parchments, this is the way you would tie it together.
Like a get. It's also like in Gittin, that's the whole thing that if you cut it and then you put it.
If you do, I mean, you don't have to do that. You're not,
but right.
Right, so then the Gemara says in the bottom, Sfarim nechtav mecholashim. So Sifrei Torah can be written in any language. The Gemara says, Reminhu, is this really true? Mikra shekasav targum. If a pasuk that's supposed to be written in Hebrew, if it's written in targum, in Aramaic, or if targum, sometimes we have psukim that are Aramaic. So, and let's say you write an Aramaic pasuk, targum shekasu mikra, you write that in Hebrew. We'll look at Rashi in a moment. Or ksav ivri, you write in Hebrew, which is a little bit different than in Mikra. We'll get to all these things. Let's look at Rashi now. Rashi says, Mikra shekasuv targum. So Rashi says, Sefer Shekasa B'Lashon HaKodesh, Haroi Likhto Bo Mikra, Kasa B'Lashon HaRami. So you pick a pasuk in Torah, and almost all psukim, 99%, almost 100% of psukim in Torah are written in Hebrew. You write in Aramaic instead. Or Rashi says, Targum, Sher Yehoya Roy Lichto Bo Targum Kigon Yeger Sadusa. This is a pasuk found in Sefer Bereishis. It's Aramaic, it's the name of a place. So it's Aramaic. If you write those Aramaic words in Hebrew, you switch it around. You kasa mikra, you write Gilad instead of Yagur Sudasa. Or Chain Targum Rashi says, Kigon Targum Kasav Shah Daniel of Ezra. Daniel of Ezra. Daniel is pretty much all Aramaic, and Ezra has a lot of Aramaic. If these psukim, which are meant to be written in Aramaic, are written in Hebrew. Or Ksav Ivri. What's Ksav Ivri, Rashi says? It's O Shaloshina Es Aloshan Aval Shina Es Aksav. Or you don't change the language, you just change the type of letters that are being used. Shekasu B'Ksav Shal Eivr Hanar. A different type of, let's call it, a script, Hebrew script, for example, as opposed to the way we have it in the print, or the you don't write it in the Safras letters. So anything change, whether you're changing the language or changing the letters, the Gemara says now, Eino Matamis Yadayim, it's not going to be a full-fledged Sifrei Torah, Ad, Shich Tevenu B'Ksav Ashurus, has to be written in the letters of Ashurus, which is what we use, Al HaSefer, on a proper parchment, Uvidyo, and have to use the proper ink. So we see from here, you can't change anything. You can't change the letters, nor can you change the language. How then does our Mishnah allow you to change the language according to Tanna Kamma, and Rashbag to change you to Greek? This price is clearly against it. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rav Lokasha, it's not a problem. Kan begufan shalanu, kan begufan shalahen. Depends, the gufan referring to the gufa letters, which letters are being used. So Rashi explains, top line, kan begufan shalanu. So Rashi's Gufan, the first one, Gufan is Ksiva, talking about the Ksiva, the type of writing that was being used, not the language, the letters that were being used. So Kan B'Gufan Shalanu, our Mishnah is a case of our letters, Masnisin, Dikasani B'Chol Lashon, that you could use any language, Shaloshina Esaksav, you're not changing the script that's being used, El Shishina Esalashon, you're just changing the language, U'Braisa B'Gufan Shalhem. So you use Hebrew letters, but you, transliterate, there you go. Transliterate the words, so you write, let's say the word say, what?
Like Yiddish,
right.
Yiddish with Hebrew letters.
Yiddish with Hebrew letters, exactly, right. Or English, where you just write the word say, you write Samach Ayin Yud, or Samach Alf Yud, to word say.
So it gives more importance to the Ksaf and to the Lashon.
Which is pretty amazing, yeah.
It is amazing.
And in Primus, the letters are so, so important.
Right. I would say the opposite. I wouldn't say the opposite, but I mean at least.
Right, you would have thought exactly to use English letters to say the Hebrew words.
It should be at least right. Better than the other way around.
Right. So, that's the Gemara, at least things in the Havamina. The Gemara is going to reject this, I believe, but at least in the Havamina. So, and then the Braisa was talking about a case where you change the actual letters. You use Greek letters, you use whatever other letters there are. And then the Gemara says, Amar Leia Baye. Baye says, B'mayo kimta lehahu lehahi. Begufan shalahen. Why do you say that the other braisa that the Gemara had brought in was referring to other types of letters? You're using Greek letters as opposed to the language. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Ma'irya mikra shikasu targum, but targum shikasu mikra. Why did you choose a situation, a case, where you wrote mikra, Hebrew, in Aramaic, or Aramaic in Hebrew? Afil mikra shikasu mikra, but targum shikasu targum nami. Even if you write Hebrew and Hebrew using other letters, or Aramaic and Aramaic but using other letters, it would still be disqualified. The Brisa says, until you write it actually in the Ashurus letters, into the proper letters, that's written on a Sefer with a proper ink. So what's this question saying here?
Meaning if the whole thing is just the letters, then even if you write the same thing in different letters, then you also it's also not kosher. So why do you have to go and change the letter?
I mean, the same language but different letters.
Right. If you write the Sefer Torah as a Sefer Torah and it's in different letters, then it seems that it's possible, because we said that the whole idea is that it's using the letters. It seems to me that that's what's saying.
Right. So the Braisa seems to imply that it should be a problem, even if though you're using the same language, mikra to mikra, and you change just the letters, it should be possible.
Right, because it's Achich Tevenu.
Right, Ashurus. So why is Bryce to give example of Mikra to Targum? Right. When she say Mikra to Mikra, you're using the same language,
right,
but you're changing the letters, so that should have been the greater Chiddush, the
I
same
think
language.
So, I mean, that's how I understand it.
So therefore, the Gemara is uncomfortable to say that the difference between these brises and the Mishnah is one of changing the letters. So the Gemara therefore says that, no, I'll tell you the difference. Ela lo kasha ha rabbanan ha rabban shimon ben gamliel. Different authors. Our Mishnah Tadakam is referring to the rabbanan, who allow you to change any language you want. The brise that we brought in from elsewhere is the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who does not allow you to change to any other language other than Greek. So even Mikra to Aramaic, which you might think Aramaic is a higher level than Yavanis, Rashbag does not allow you to do that. So the brise that we brought in is really the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Gemara asks, now, if it's really true that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, well, how iki Yavanis? How could the Gemara, the brise, conclude it's possible until you write in Ashuris? It should say it's possible ad sheikh tevenu bashuris o b'yavanis. The fact that it does not include Yavanis as one of the possible languages sounds like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel is not the author of the brisa that we brought in for the Gemara. Or so, okay, fine. So there can't be a machlokas between who wrote it. And the lokasha must be the machlokas as follows. Lokasha kan bisvarim kan bitfilin mezuzos. Our mission, which allowed you to write in other languages, is referring to Sifrei Torah. Tanakama permitted you to write in any lashon, and Rashbag permitted you to only write in Yavanis. But this brice that we're bringing in is referring to not Sfarim, but referring to Tefillin and Mezuzos. And Tefillin and Mezuzos, we only allow you to write in Lashon HaKodesh. And that's the brice referring to, when it comes to Tefillin and Mezuzos, must be written in Ksav HaShuris. That's how we deal with the brice, nothing to do with Sfarim. So now that we established that big distinction between Sfarim versus Tefillin and Mezuzos, the Gemara wants to know, what's the reason, what's the basis for this? The Gemara says Tefillin and Mezuzos...
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
According to our Mishnah, it doesn't mention Ashur. It mentions the Tefillin Mezuzos Einan Nichtavot Ela Ashuris, right?
The Brisa says that.
Our Mishnah also.
Mishnah also. Oh, Tefillin Mezuzos, yes. Yes.
Emben Sfarim Tefillin Mezuzos Ela Shasfarim Nichtavim Bechol.
So that's consistent with the Braisa.
So it's consistent with the Braisa. Correct.
So Gemara says, yeah.
So the Kasha, okay. So, okay.
So Gemara wants to know, what's the basis for the distinction of Tefillin Mezuzos that's only permitted in Ksav HaShuris versus Sfarim's permitted in at least Yavanis, if not all Lashon according to the Chachamim? The Gemara says that Tefillin and Mezuzos, my taima, why could only Ashuris be permitted? Mishum dechsib be, it's written, v'hayu. What does v'hayu mean? Bav yosan yu, it has to be the way it was, should be the way it's always going to be. It has to be very precise and exact, namely, it has to be written in Ksav Ashuris.
I think this goes on the Teretz.
Well, Teretz, what do you mean?
This is part of the Ela Lokasha.
Right, the Gemara is trying to explain. So why is Tefillin Mezuzos? Why is it limited to only Ksav HaShuris? Because the pasuk is about you, but of Yosin Yiyu. So okay, so the Gemara says now, my targum shekasu mikra ika. So the Brisa they said there are two examples. There's an example of something if you write Hebrew in Aramaic, or you write Aramaic into Hebrew. Now, if we're saying this Brisa that we brought in is referring to Tefillin Mezuzos, so where do you ever find Aramaic? Where do you find targum in Tefillin Mezuzos? They were suggesting that it might be written in Mikra. If we're talking about that Bryce is referring to all of Kol Tar Kula, we have a number of instances where Aramaic is being used. But now that we're establishing that Bryce is referring to Tefillin Mezuzos only, so where's an example of Targum being written in Hebrew? There's no Targum. Where it says, Bishma Torah, if I understood the Bryce to refer to the entire Torah, Ika Yagar Sadusa, and the Sefer Torah, that as Rashi brought before, there's the words Yagar Sadusa, which is Aramaic. If that's written in Hebrew, which is Gilad, so that's what it means, Targum b'mikra. Now the hach of my Targum, when it comes to Tefillin Mezuzos, now that we're saying the Brisa is referring to Tefillin Mezuzos, where is an example of Aramaic found in Tefillin Mezuzos? So that can't be the case. Where is Ela Lokasha kam b'Megillah kam b'Sfarim? The Brisa you brought in is not referring to Tefillin Mezuzos, it must be referring to Megillah. The Megillah, if you write Mikra to Targum, or Targum to Mikra, that's going to be possible until you write Ashuris. So the Brisa is now referring to Megillah. So when asks, referring to Megillah, my time, why does Megillah have to be written in Ksav HaShuris only? Why can't it be written in any other language like the Sefer Torah may be written? So Gemara explains, my time, has to be exactly the way it was written, exactly the way it was spoken. You have to maintain the Ksiva, the letters, you have to maintain the Lashonam, the language. So that's what it's referring to. So now the Gemara wants to know, now that we're saying that this brice that we brought in from elsewhere is referring to Megillah, and Megillah's Esther can only be written in the way it was written, so my Targum Shekasu Mikrig Ika. So what an example they find in the Megillah that there's Targum. Is there Aramaic in the Torah? We said already the Torah has Aramaic. We said Tefillah Mezuzah does not have Aramaic. Where did we find Aramis in Mikra, in the Megillah? So the Gemara says there are two examples we have. One example is Amar Papa Venishma Piskam Hamelach. So the Lashon of Piskam is Aramaic. Lashon Pish, what it means is when he sent out the letters, the edict from the king, Piskam is Lashon of Aramis. And Rav Nachman suggests, Bar Yitzchak suggests the second place, Amar V'chol HaNashim Yitnu Yakar Levalem. The word Yakar is also Aramaic. Sometimes the word Yakar refers to, is a Hebrew word. Yakar means precious. In this context, Yakar means Aramaic. It's an Aramaic term. Okay, so that's how we figure out the Mishnah versus the Gemara. So now, just in conclusion, in summary rather, the Mishnah said there's a, when it comes to Tefillin, Mezuzahs must be written in Hebrew. Sfarim has a machlokas, whether Kol Lashon or Yevanis only, according to Rashbag. And now we have also the Brice adds in, when it comes to Megillas Esther, it could also only be written in Lashon Ashurus.
The Megillah.
The Megillah, exactly.
Again, the Megillah, what's going on in the Megillah?
Megillah is, can be written only b'chavim v'chilshanam, only in the Hebrew.
It's interesting because here it says that when the Pasuk mentioned Ksavim, it didn't mean about the Megillah, it meant about the Igros that they sent.
Right.
So I don't know what the answer is.
I guess to make a drasha.
It's a very long Tartor.
Oh yeah? So I guess to make some type of a drasha.
It should have been mentioned in our Mishnah between also. It's a very long
for another. Okay.
Sounds interesting.
Okay. Second here. Look at the Taptosis for a second. Taptosis says Bishlama Torah Ika Yahagar Sugasa. The Gemara says that the Gemara told us that Yahagar Sadusa is the example of Aramis that we find in the Sefer Torah. So tasks Tosfos the Kasha. Am I Mr. Labahim? So what if you write the Targum as Mikra? What would the disqualification be? Who cares? You write the words Yahagar Sadusa, you write as Gilad in the Torah. Who cares? Hashalosh Tevos. If you're missing these three words, I thought it's two words, but it should be two words, I think, right? The Gears have changed it. If you're missing these two words, so then Lo Mafsu B'Hachi, that's not going to possible. Let's say you completely erase the words Yahagar Sadusa. The Torah apparently is not going to be possible. Kedamrinim Begitin Daf Samech Sefer Torah Shechasa Yira Achas Ein Korin Bo. If a Sefer Torah is missing a whole column, or maybe more than a column, a Yiriya parchment, it could be three columns. If you're missing a whole section, even more, that's going to be possible. The implication is mashma dafka yira achas. Only if you're missing a whole yiriya of a pasuk yechad. If you're missing one pasuk and certainly two, three words, lo, it's not going to be possible. So dachak akunches Rashi tries to explain. This is not Rashi here. It must be Rashi in Gittin. So who cares if you change again the word yagar sadusa to another word to gilad? Even if it was erased, it would be kasher according to the Gemara in Gittin. So Rashi explains lomar the garat fei kshu kasev targum mikshu lo nichtav klal. He says it's worse if it's written in the wrong language than if it wasn't written at all. That's what Rashi writes. Now we don't pass like this because we say if it's missing
even a letter, if it's possible,
exactly right. But I guess Rashi felt otherwise. Now v'yesh lomar other answer Tosaf says dehach lo ba ela lahashmina dehavitalas v'tzarach lagio. So this is not talking about missing letters. It's just telling us it has to be fixed. It's fixable. Okay, so I'm not sure what the last line means, but either way, it's an interesting Rashi out there that we always assume that, you know, everyone thinks if it's missing letters, it's going to be Pasul Torah. There's a Shitas Rashi who thinks that, no, if it's missing a couple words, it's still going to be a Kasher Sefer Torah.
Yeah, but the whole thing, the Gemara is bringing this about the Torah just to ask a question on the field.
Right, but I guess in the Havmina, we thought at one point that it was referring to Sefer Torah, so within the Havmina, how could you really think that? Okay, so we're now around halfway down. Tesam Alf says Rav Ashi Amar Kitania Hi B'Shar Svarim. Rabbi Yehudi, Rav Ashi thought really the other brayso that we brought in was in fact talking about Sfarim. And it was according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now in the Mishnah we only had the opinion of the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now he thinks there's a third opinion called Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds the Tanya Tefillin and Mezuzahs ain't nechtavin el Ashuris. That Tefillin and Mezuzah is consistent with what we've been saying up until now, that it could only be written in Hebrew. And came along the Chachamim, and they permitted Yevanis as well to be written for the sake for Tefillin and Mezuzahs, it sounds like. How could you write Tefillin and Mezuzahs in Yevanis? Doesn't the Pasuk say V'hayu by Tefillin and Mezuzahs? Sounds like you can't write in any other language other than Ashurus. So, Elo Eima Sefer, the Gemara says, no, let's see, tweak the Brayis a bit. It should read as follows. Elo Eima Sefer, Nichtam B'Cholashim, that Svarim Nichtam B'Cholashim. Tanakama thinks that Sefer Torahs can be written in any language. Rabbi Seinu Ha'itir Yevanis. And came along Chacham and permitted Yevanis. Se'itiru, the fact that Chacham permitted Yevanis, Michlal the Tanakama Aser. So that implies that the Chacham Aser, the Tanakama forbade writing in Yevanis. Only the Chacham came afterwards and permitted Yevanis. Se'ela, the Brayso should read that Rabbi Seinu Lo'itiru She'ichtuv El Yevanis. What should read as follows, that Tanakama thinks any language can be written for Sefer Torahs. And comes along, the Rabbi Sinner said, no, lo etir el Yevanis. They only permit Yevanis. So that's consistent with our Brayso right now, our Mishnah. That again, Tanakama thinks Svarim could be written.
Yeah.
The Brayso didn't read well, because the Brayso said, Tanakama said, that Svarim could be written in Cholashim. And then Rabbi Sinner came along, they came along and were Mati Yevanis. What do you mean they're Mati Yevanis? The Chum already were Mati, all languages.
Right.
So it should be that the Chum came along and limited it to only Yevanis. That's how we tweaked the Brayso a little bit. And then after establishing that brisa, then Tanya, there's another brisa that says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Af kishi etir yobosenu, Yevanis lo etir ela b'sefer Torah. Permitted writing in Greek, they only permitted you to write the Sefer Torah in Greek. Okay, so before we get to exactly why in Greek, why, how do we fit this in, how is Rabbi Yehuda, seems to be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. What are we saying new here about Rabbi Yehuda? Rashi says, let's see. Oh, okay, I see. Ah. This is what you were saying before, Ricky, you were suggesting before. That when we use the word Sfarim, we always assume it refers to all of Tanakh. So it comes along, this Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, no. We're referring to other Sfarim other than Torah. We're referring to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The Brayso that we brought in is only referring to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. It comes to Torah, only the Sefer Torah itself, the Chamish Shechem Torah, only that is permitted to be written in Yevanis, as we're about to see. When it came to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that must be written the way it was. So when we brought the Brayso in, that's referring to other Sfarim of Tanakh, meaning Nevi'im and Ksuvim only. But Torah, that's permitted to be written in Yevanis. So that's the Gemara says, when Rashbag said it could be written in Yevanis, Rabbi Yehuda qualifies that to say only Sefer Torah itself, the Chamish Chamshe Torah, could be written in Yevanis, but not in the Vim Ksuvim. And why does Rabbi Yehuda limit this to only Sefer Torah? The only Sefer Torah could be written in Yevanis. So that's based on the following well-known story. The Gemara tells us, Mishmaisa the Talmi HaMelech. Talmi HaMelech, rather, this is one of the celebrations, one of the days of Megillas Tainus, if you remember in Tainus, one of the days they had a whole Yontif for, I forget which day it was listed in Megillas Tainus. So what happened? The Tanya, the Brayso tells us, Ma'isa B'Talmi HaMelech, there's once a story, Shekinas Shivim V'Shnayim Zekenim. He had brought in 72 older Chachamim, V'Chnisan V'Shivim V'Shnayim Batim, placed them into 72 separate houses. Lo Gilohem Amach Kintam. Didn't tell them why he brought them in. He went in himself to each house to speak to each of the Zakenim. V'amar lehem, and says to them as follows, Kisvuli Torah, Toras Moshe, Rabchem. So write for me, Sefer Torah, I want to read it, write it for me in Greek. So Nasana Kadosh Baruch Hu Blev Kol Echad V'Echad Eitza. Kadosh Baruch Hu placed a certain Eitza, advice, entered into their mind. V'skimu Kulan L'das Achas, and they all came out to the same exact interpretation of the Chumash into the exact same Greek language. So what are they going to do? So they all wrote, there are a number of interesting, Gemara's going to go through a number of psukim that could have been somewhat controversial, where they all were mechavin, all 72 were mechavin to the same interpretation. So the Gemara goes to one after the next. So the Gemara says, the Kasulo, they wrote as follows. Elokim bara bereshis. They didn't write bereshis bara elokim. They wrote elokim bara bereshis. Why is that? So we'll go through each of these Rashis. There are a lot of Rashis, but we'll try to go to each one if we have time. Rashi says, Elokim bara bereshis. Es Hashemayim. Shelo yomar bereshis shem hu ushe reshuyos hein verishon bara sashenim. Because you could read bereshis bara elokim. That bereshis, this concept, this God created elokim, created God. That's how you could read it. If you bereshis, could be the name of a God. So they're going to read, oh, bereshis is a person or a God created elokim. They didn't want that to be interpreted that way, so they wrote elokim bara bereshis. God created first. That's the first change they made. And they wrote this all in Greek. Then it says, Ese Adam Bitselem Uvdumus, they wrote. So the pasuk really says, Rashi says, Ese Adam Shemikan Paku Haomrim Shte Rishios Hein Dechsev Nase Adam. It says, Nase Adam Bitselem Elokim, that we made it. We made it together, so it should be, so they wrote it, interpreted it as Ese, I will make it. Not to think that there are any other gods along with Hashem. Then the third change they made was Vayichal Bayom Hashishi Vayishpos Bayom Hashvi. It doesn't say Vayichul Hashemayim, that we ended it, but Vayichal Hashem ended the creation of the world, and he rested on Shvi. That's the third change they made. The fourth change they made was Zachar Nekeva Baru. It's that he...
Biro.
Right, as opposed to Baram, Lokasu Baram. So Rashi says Zachar Nekeva Baru Vlokasu Baram. Dimash Mishnei Gufin Bar Kol Echad Zachar Unikeva Shnei Partufim Lachachas Baru Shekach Niver Adam B'Shnei Partufim. Baram sounds like he made two different creations, two different beings, and each one had a Zachar Unikeva. So that wasn't true. So therefore, Baro, he created one being with two faces on it. That's the another change they made. Then it says Hava Erda V'Avla Sham Sfasam. So the Pasuk really says Rashi doesn't tell us. It says Hava Nerda, let us go down. This is talking about Migdal Bavel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rashi al-Torah says, what does it mean, Nerda, we'll go down? HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with his basin. So let's go down. So Nerda, they want the change to Erda, Hashem, I will go down individually. That was another change that they made to see what was going on in Migdal Bavel. Then it says, Vatishak Sarah Bikrovel, that Sarah was laughing inside of her. So Rashi says, Bikroveha, it says she lo yomar al Avram lochbid. So not say, oh, she was laughing at Avram Avinu. She was laughing about him. We don't want to give that impression. So therefore, duchse vayitzchak val Sara hikbid. The fika chasu bekrovel lomar Avram bilibo v'haya amra bekrovel. So what's the actual pasuk here? Pasuk should be bekirba, as opposed to bekroveha.
Yeah, I still understand.
What's this one saying? Let's see.
It says here, שבעוד שהקפיד הקדוש ברוך הוא על שרה משום צחקה לא הקפיד על אברהם אף על פי שגם הוא צחק בשומו ששרה עתידה ללדת ככתוב ויפול אברהם על פניו ויצחק ביום רביעי ולכן שנינו שמתקנים לכתוב ששרה צחקה לפני קרובה תחת לכתוב שצחקה בקרבה כלומר בתוך דיבה כדי שיתלה תלמי את הנהגת הקדוש ברוך הוא בכך ש
So the situation was that Kadosh Baruch Hu got upset at Sarah for laughing at Avram Avinu, but he never got upset at Avram for laughing about Sarah. So they say that's not so fair. Why did he get upset at Sarah? So therefore, the pasuk is interpreted as Sarah laughed not because in her inside, but she laughed out loud in front of relatives, and because she laughed out loud is why Kadosh Baruch Hu got mad at her and not at Avram. That's how they would interpret it to be. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ki ba'apam hargushor, ubitzonam akru avus. So what's this pasuk referring to here? So let's see here.
It says, Ki ba'apam hargu ish, ubitzonam ikru shor.
is referring to, right, on Shishchem, right.
כדי שלא יאמר תל מי שהיו בין אבותינו רוצחים שאפילו אביהם מעיד בהם שהרגו איש. They change it short to Ikrushor, meaning Ikrushor means a person and Hargushor means an animal.
Okay, they didn't want them describing what happened at Shechem, they didn't want them to be described as animals, so therefore they changed them to referring to a person.
No.
The other way around.
It changed from a person to animal because they didn't want that even...
It's be viewed as murderers.
Yeah.
Okay, so therefore they weren't killing people, they were killing animals, it says. Okay, then the Gemara says, Vayikach Moshe's Isho Vezbonov Vayikivim Al Nose Bnei Adam. And Moshe took his wife and his children and they went on Nose Adam. So what was the change here? So the Pasuk actually says, Chamor, the pinch of Vayikivim Al Nose Bnei Adam, on people were holding them. So why the change here? So Rashi says, Nose Bnei Adam, it's around halfway down in Rashi's, Dimashra Gamal refers to a camel, that's what Nose Bnei Adam. So Yomar Moshe Ravcham Lohaya Losus O Gamal. Say he rode a donkey, wasn't so respectful, or a camel or a horse was a little bit more chashuv, so therefore they changed it to no sleeping in Adam, to what, because camels are meant to carry loads and packages, not people. So it wasn't so kavodik for Moshe to be riding on a chamor, so rather he's riding on something that other people will be no see Adam. What's a no see Adam? A gamel, a camel, so no see Adam carries people. That's an interesting one. Then the Gemara says, what about the pasuk Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Asher Yashuv Mitzrayim, Uvushar Artos, Arba Meil Shana? So here the change is, the pasuk actually says, Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yeshu b'mitzrayim shloshim shana v'arba meos shana. It really says 430 years, but they changed it to 400 years. The reason for this is because the calculations are going to be somewhat off. They're not going to know how to do the calculations properly. So therefore, they didn't want the Torah to be viewed as sheker. So 400 years is the simple understanding, the simple calculations. But that was another change. And then the pasuk says, this is one that's found in, this one, Shmos here, Vayishlach es zatute Bnei Yisrael. So really, the pasuk says Vayishlach es Na'arei Bnei Yisrael. What does Zatute Bnei Yisrael mean? So Rashi, all the way towards the bottom, four lines up, the Zatute means Lashon Chashiva. It's a very impressive type of language. About Na'arei Lashon Katnas, V'yomer Guru Mishlachem Shlachtum L'kabel Pnei Hashchina. So the pasuk is referring to that the people were sent out to Mishecht and send Karbanos by Kabbalah Satorah. So to send the Na'arim, the kids, that's the Kavod Hashem, to have a Mizbech and Karbanos be brought by Na'arim. So therefore they use the word Zatute, which is Chashuvim. They sent the Chashuv individuals of Klal Yisrael to do the Karbanos. And then it says, Ve'al Zatute Bnei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yodo. This pasuk also, it says Ve'al Atzile Bnei Yisrael. Here too, also they changed it to Zatute. So in order to be consistent with the language of Na'arim, they wanted to use the same language, so they changed Zatute also to have a consistent language. Then the Gemara going on to the top of Amud Beis has more psukim. Lochamad echad mehem nasasi. So the pasuk really says lochamad echad mehem nasasi. So referring to a donkey. So then he says, Rashi, I didn't take even a donkey among you. Moshe got so angry at Klal Yisrael, so I didn't take anything. So change it from a chamor to chamad. So Rashi explains why that. So Rashi says, "Lo chamad echad mehem nasasi, lo shelo yomar." So they shouldn't say chamar lo lakach, aval chavit achel lakach. Moshe said, "I didn't take a donkey, but maybe I took something else. I took gold, I took silver." So therefore, the pasuk says, "Lo chamad, I didn't take anything from you. I didn't take any object from you." And then the pasuk says, "Asher chalak Hashem elkecha atem lahayir lachol ha'amim." The pasuk, what it's really supposed to be saying, is supposed to say, "Asher chalak Hashem elkecha osam lachol ha'amim." Tachas kol shmaim, it doesn't say that. It rather says lahayir l'chol ha'amim. So this one Rashi explains two lines from the top. Lahayir l'chol ha'amim imlokein yomar ben noach muta b'avodazara u'midrash l'achlikon b'dvarim k'day l'tordim na'olam. Somehow this pasuk would have indicated that avodazara is permitted for ben noach. They didn't want people to think that, so therefore they said lahayir l'chol ha'am.
Because he took out lahayir.
No, I added in the word. It took out Tachas L'chol Shemayim.
According to this, the difference is that it took out... One is Asher Chalak Hashem Elkecha Otam L'ha'ir L'chol Ha'amim.
Right.
Asher Chalak Hashem Elkecha Otam L'chol Ha'amim.
Right, so we we put in lahir. Lahir is not in the pasuk. We put in lahir.
Right.
If the pasuk says tachas kol shemayim, sounds like you could worship anything under the sun. So therefore, we say lahir. No, you're not supposed to worship. You're supposed to enlighten the world, be a light out to the other nations. Then it says vayelech vayavod el him acherim, asher lo tzivisi lo avdam. L'chasvulo es tziras haragalim. So what's this one here now? It says, it adds the word le'ovdom here. Why? It sounds like if it just says, you know, Vayelch Vayavod Elohim Achim Asher Lo Tzivisi, I didn't command, sounds like, well, the fact that there are other kochos in this world, what does that mean? There are other kochos. So if there are Kadosh Baruch Hu never commanded that they exist, but these kochos exist anyways, sounds like they came into existence without Akash Baruch Hu's consent. So therefore, it says, love them, I didn't command you to worship. Yes, I command them. I'm the one who created all these various kochos, all these tumas. I did create it, I just didn't command you to serve it. So they shouldn't think otherwise. They add the words in love them. Then, another change they made was, as tziras haragalim, they change, v'lo kasvulo es har neves, raglan. They wrote tziras haragalim, which refers to a type of rabbit, as opposed to the actual word Arneves. Why? Bnei she'ishtu shel tamei Arneves shemash. His wife was called Arneves. Shel yomar sochaku bi hayudim v'hitilu shem ishto b'shir Torah. He didn't want them, the Jews are making fun of me, they placed my wife's name in the Torah. So not to think that, they all changed the word Arneves to the word tziras haraglayim. Okay, so that ends all the various psukim, all the various changes that took place between the 72 elders and the 72 different Tzvei Torah. And it's already 6:40, we have not much time. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, after Svaram Lohitiru, Shikasu Eli Yavanis. Shpag only permitted you to write the Sefer Torah in the Greek language. So Amar Rabbi Bohu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halachah, Rabbi Rashpag, we pass him like this, that you can write it in Greek. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time at Rashpag, what's the reasoning that you permitted to write in Greek? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, by Noach, Yafes El Kim, Liefes, Vaishkon Baal Eshem. So what do you mean that the beauty of Hashem and Yefes and the shame should be sitting in tents and learning? Dvar of Yefes, Yehu Baal Hashem, the words of Yefes, which Yefes refers to Europe usually, Europe should be in the Baal Hashem, in the base medrash, the tents of Hashem. Vema Gomer Magog, so why only Yavanis, why only Greek? There are many countries that are found in Europe. What about Gomer Magog, which also other, not sure which countries, which languages, but any other language of Europe should be included. So Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Hayinu Taima. The reason is because Dichsiv Yefes Elkim LeYefes. The Yefes, the Yafusa Shel Yefes Be'ol Hashem. The most beautiful of the languages should be in Ol Hashem. So which is the most beautiful languages? The Gemara says it must be Yavan. Rashi says Yefes Shu Lashon Yavan Lashon Yafim Mishal Kol Bnei Yefes. Apparently, Greek was the most beautiful language among all the European languages. I'm not sure how you define a beautiful language, but that's what Gemara tells us. That's why only Greek can be used for the Sefer Torah.
That's how we hold. Nowadays we don't hold it.
I mean, we don't have it, but in theory it could exist. The Gemara says a paskin like this. So I'd imagine we wouldn't go against what the Gemara tells us the Psak Halach is. So,
do theory. We always hold the Psak Halach according to what the Gemara says the Psak Halach is?
Yeah, when the Gemara tells us Halacha, almost always a paskin that way, unless there's another Gemara which seems to paskin otherwise. So, pretty much we're passing this way.
So it's here that we don't, that we, the Greek of today is corrupted from that Greek, so we don't
know. Ah, interesting.
So apparently we don't really know the real Yavanis has disappeared in some way.
So in theory, we do passing that way, we just don't know the language. Okay. Then says the new Mishnah now, another Ein Bein. Ein bein kain mishuach b'shem mishchal meruba begadim. There's no difference. The two ways a kain gadol can become a kain gadol. Either he can become kain gadol by using shemen hamishcha, the special oil that was from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, which we don't have anymore, or by dum ruba begadim. The regular kohen gadol wears 4 begadim. A kohen gadol wears 8 begadim. So the moment that he dons 8 begadim, he becomes kohen gadol. So Meshuach Shemen HaMishcha is one type of kohen gadol, and Meruba Begadim is another way to become kohen gadol. So Rashi just explains to us, Meruba Begadim, this is towards the top, a little bit higher up. Kohanim Sheshimshu Bebei Sheni, Kohanim who worked in the second Beis HaMikdash, Vaf Bebei Rishon, even certain Kohanim Gadolim who worked in the first Bais, Mimos Yoshiyahu, the Elech, from the times after Yoshiyahu, Shenignash Tzucha Shel Shemen HaMishcha, he hid the oil. So anyone after that time was only able to become a Kohen Gadol through Meruba Begadim. So is there, or what is the difference between a Kohen Gadol became through Meruba Begadim versus Shemen HaMishcha? Mar tells us, the Mishnah rather tells us, the only difference is, Ela, Par Haba Al Kol HaMitzvos. The special halacha was, Rashi tells us, Par Haba Al Kol HaMitzvos, that Kohen Mashiach, a Kohen who was anointed through oil, Shehor Rehet B'davar Shezadon Karis, he makes a Psak Halacha, he gives Hara, that's permitted to, let's say, for example, eat chaylev. You could eat fats of the meat, which is normally aser, and yichiv karis. He permitted you to do this. V'asaka harasan, someone went along and listened to the hara. Maybe par, the kohen gadol, has to bring a par for his mistaken hara. Shenemar im ha-kohen ha-mashiach yichte l'ashmam ha'am. Now this halacha, par helm davar, only applies to a kohen mishuach shemen ha-mishcha, not to a kohen meruba begadim. That's the only difference between the two. The discussions of this halacha is really found in the Maseches Horios. We're very far away from that. We're probably a few years away from the Horios. So the Gemara says now, another difference...
Horios, Tzoni Mishnah.
No, there's a Gemara. There's a 13 daf.
Oh, there is 13.
Yeah. The Gemara says, Ein bein koin mishamish l'koin l'shavar. The only difference between a koin who serves versus a koin who lost his post. We'll say what that means in a second. Elapar yom ha-kipurim v'asir sa'ifa. So what's an example? So let's say Rashi tells us, I'll say it outside, a Kohen Gadol becomes, he's a Kohen Gadol. And then he gets a certain psul, he becomes disqualified from being Kohen Gadol. You get a backup Kohen Gadol. Now the original Kohen Gadol became kosher again, so the backup Kohen Gadol gets knocked out. So the active Kohen Gadol now, the original one, who's now active, is called the Kohen HaMashamish, and the backup one's now called the Kohen Gadol She'avar. So what's the difference between the Kohen Gadol She'shimesh versus the Kohen Gadol She'avar? So the Gemara says, the only difference, two differences are, says the Mishnah, is Par Yom HaKippurim, that only one par in Yom Kippur could be brought. The par she kohen gadol could be brought only one. Only the active kohen gadol brings it. The kohen she'avar cannot bring it. And the second one is that every single day the kohen gadol would bring asir sa'efa. He'd bring an amount of a'efa of asiris. He'd split it in half and bring half in the morning and half in the evening. Only the kohen gadol she'mashamish could do it, but the kohen gadol she'avar cannot do it. But all other halachas, like for example, growing your hair long and becoming mitamit to masmeis, all those apply to even the kohen gadol she'avar. So says the Gemara, Hal Inin, now referring to the first half of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah, the difference between the Kohen Gadol Meruba Begadim, who wore a clothing, versus the Kohen Gadol who was anointed with oil, was the difference between how you became Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah told us the only one difference is the Par Mishuach, the Par Helm Davar. The Gemara says, but Hal Inin Par Yom HaKippurim Vasir Seifa Sevez HaShavim. But with respect to bringing the Par Yom Kippur, whether or not you became Kohen Gadol because of the oil, or because of wearing a clothing, either way you'd be equal, that even the Meruba Begadim could bring the par on Yom Kippur. Now we're not talking about two Kohen Gadolim, by the way. We're talking about where there's one Kohen Gadol. When there's one Kohen Gadol, if he became the Kohen Gadol because he wore a Begadim, that's what made him into it, he goes ahead and brings the par on Yom Kippur. And also, he's the one who does Asir Seifa, Zev Zev Shavim, they're both equal. So regardless of how you became Kohen Gadol, you're going to, the same halachas are going to apply in terms of bringing the par and the Asir Seifa every single day. Gemara now tells us that Masnissin, our mission, is Delok Rabbi Meir, is not like the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Why? Because the Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, Hatani, the Brisa, teaches us as follows. That Meruba Begadim, the person who wears multiple clothing, the eight clothing, maybe Par Haba'a Kol Mitzos, Divrei Rabbi Meir, he is going to bring the Par Haba'a Kol Mitzos. While our Mishnah told us that only Meshuach Meshem HaMishcha brings Par Helm Davar, not the Meruba Begadim. So we see the Rav Meir is not like our Mishnah, because the Mishnah, again, Rav Meir holds that even Meruba Begadim is going to bring Par Helm Davar. Now the Brisa just continues the opinion of the Chachamim, Omrim, Eino Mevi. He does not bring...
But when it says Par Haba Al Kol HaMitzvot, mm-hmm. It means that he brings every single par. Is that what I mean to say?
No, it means the case that the Rashi told us that if the Kohen Gadol... Exactly.
But why would we think that this is what it means from Par Haba? Because Rashi says it, or...
Because Rashi says it, exactly. There is I know it's confusing because it says par ba kol mitzvah sounds like the stam par.
Yeah, I think,
Right. So Tosas argues on that. Tosas says on the top, referring to the Stam Parv that he brings. Uh-huh. Rashi says otherwise. So this part of a bigger Bechlokas. But you're right. Tosas does say like what you're saying. The Stam Parv that the Kohen Gadol brings.
But then how does Tosas explain that it's not
Peshitas Rabi Meir? Because our Mishnah also said Par HaBal Kol Mitzvos.
Ah, so he goes also...
Exactly.
On the
he has to be consistent, so... So the Gemara says, now, my time, what's the reasoning the Rabbi Meir, who, we'll go with Rashi's interpretation for now, what's the reason Rashi says that the Parham Davar cannot be brought... Sorry, that the Kohen Gadol Reuben Begadim may bring the Parham Davar. What's his reasoning? The Tanya, the Baisha tells us, the Pasuk says, Mashiach, that Mashiach, Kohen Gadol, who's anointed with oil... He's the one who brings Parhelm Davar. Ainly Ela Mashiach, I only know the one who B'Shem and Hamishcha. How about Merubah Begadim? How do I know a guy, the Kohen Gadol, who became Kohen Gadol by wearing a clothing that made him into the Kohen Gadol? Hamalomer, HaMashiach, the extra letter Hey comes to include even Merubah Begadim. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So Gemara says, V'mayo kimta delo k'Rabbi Meir. Why are we able to say that our Mishnah was not like Rabbi Meir? Because Rabbi Meir included, again, even Merubah Begadim to be bringing the Parhelm Davar. Emasefa, look at the end of our Mishnah that spoke about Ein Ben Kohen Mishamish L'Kohen L'Shavar El Par Yom Kippur Vaser Seifa, the halacha, that the Kohen Gadol, who now is the active Kohen Gadol, versus the Kohen Gadol who lost his post, that the only difference is that the Kohen Gadol, HaMishamish, brings the Asir Seifa in the Par. Ha'alachol Dvivrem Zev Zeshav, but every other halacha, they're all the same. That goes Asin L'Rabbi Meir. That goes according to Rabbi Meir. So the second half of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. How do we see it goes like Rabbi Meir? Because the Gemara tells us as follows, the Tanya, the Braisa teaches us that Ira Bo Psul, the Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol gets a Psul. He can't work in the base of Mikdash. Umina Kohen Acher Tachtav, and you point another Kohen Gadol to be active. And then the Kohen Gadol, fill in this blank, the Kohen Gadol, the initial one, loses his Psul, becomes Kasher. What has the Rishon there, Chozer Lavodosa, the first guy gets back to his initial post as the Kohen Gadol. What happens to the second guy who was the backup? What does he do now? Sheni, Kol Mitzvos Kuna Gidola, Alav, Divrei Reb Meir. All the halachas of Kuna Gidola apply to him, meaning he can't grow his hair long, and everything else that might apply. That's all according to Reb Meir. That's very consistent with our Mishnah, that all the halachas apply. It's Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rishon Choza Lavodaso. So the first guy goes back to his post. What happens to the Sheni? Rabbi Yossi says, Sheni, Einu Roy, Lola Kohen Gadol, Lola Kohen Hedio. The Sheni, the second guy, can't be the Kohen Gadol, and he can't be Kohen Hedio. We'll see why. He's stuck in the middle. He's not in any category. So we see either way from this, the Gemara continues and explains, Vama Rabbi Yossi, Maisa Rabbi Yosef ben Ulam, Mitzipori. There's once a story, Rabbi Yosef, a son of Ulam, who came from the city of Tzipori, Shir Bo Psul. Once a Psul occurred to him, the Kohen Gadol, Umino, who he pointed to Tachtav, another Kohen Gadol, and Chachamim said, now what's the story now? The Rishon guy was able to get fixed. He no longer had the psul. He went back to the post. What's the halacha regarding the second Kohen Gadol now? So Chachamim paskin, v'amar Rishon chozer l'avodah. So the first guy goes back to being Kohen Gadol. And sheni, eini roi, lo l'Kohen Gadol, lo l'Kohen Hedor. He can't be either one. Why? What's the reasoning? And we still haven't gotten to the answer yet. He can't be Kohen Gadol mishim eva, because it's going to be ema. Two Kohen Gadols. The first Kohen Gadol is going to be very upset. They're going to create a lot of fighting. We don't want fighting. So Mishim Eva, he can't work as a second Kohen Gadol. So at least let him be a Kohen Hedyot. But he can't be a Kohen Hedyot either, because Mishim Malan Bekodesh Vilmaridim, once a person goes up in levels in Kedusha, can't go down. So therefore, he's kind of stuck in limbo, higher than Kohen Hedyot, but lesser than that of a Kohen Gadol. Either way, we see from all this that Rabbi Meir is not the author of the first half of the Mishnah, but Rabbi Meir is the author of the second half of the Mishnah above. So how is that possible? So Gemara says, Reishir Rabbanan, is that possible to say that the beginning's the Rabbanan and the Sefer is Rabbi Meir? So Gemara says, yes, Amar Rav Chisa in, it's possible. Reishir Rabbanan, the Sefer Rabbi Meir. We have that many times where there are two different authors of the Mishnah. The first opinion is that of Rabbi Rabbanan, and the second half of the Mishnah is referring to Rabbi Meir. Rav Yosef Amar, better. Rav Yosef says, no, it's really Rebbe. Rebbe really authored the Mishnah, but Nasav La, I'll leave with it tonight. He thought, he felt like Rabbanan was the right opinion for the first part of the Mishnah, and he felt like Rabbi Meir was the right opinion for the second half of the Mishnah. Not that there are two different authors, there's one author, Rabbi passing like two different people though, but it was really one author of the Mishnah.
So again, so what do we say? So according to the first part of the Mishnah, they are the same.
According to the first part of the Mishnah,
the only difference is
yeah, the Parhelm Dava. Right.
According to the second part of the Mishnah.
But remember, two different scenarios, though.
Yeah, one of them is right. So why are they comparing both?
No, the two different halachas both have to do with Kohen Gadol, but two different halachas related to it. But the point is, who is the author of it? We find the Rabbi Meir elsewhere that he's consistent with the Seifa, but he's not consistent with the Reisha. Uh-huh. So he can't be the author of the Mishnah because the Mishnah is not entirely like him.
I see.
Again, it's lumped together because it has to do with Kahuna, though. But there's two different halachas. Okay, let's try to get this Mishnah Gemara in quickly. The Mishnah says, "Ein bein bama gadola b'le bama ketana ela b'sachim." So there's only a difference between a bama gadola, which was the large mizbech. They brought the mizbech that Moshe Rabbeinu built from the Mishkan. They entered it into Eretz Yisrael. That was called the bama gadola. And bama ketana was that each person in his own backyard, or perhaps even his front yard, had a small little mizbech. So the only difference was that the bama gadola, you could bring p'sachim on the bama gadola, but you couldn't bring p'sachim on bama ketana. The Mishnah concludes saying, "Is that klal? This is the rule. Kol shu nidav nidav kar b'bama. Kol shu ino lo nidav lo nidav ino kar b'bama. Anything that can be dedicated through a neder or nadava may be brought on a bama ketana. Anything that may not be dedicated cannot be brought on a bama ketana." So the Gemara says, "Psachim v'sulo. Only psachim. That's the only thing that's permitted to be brought on the bama gadola. Only psachim. Not a carbon tumin. Not any other carbon tiba. No carbon musaf." It should be anything like psachim that is basically a carbon that has man kavua. That's what it means to say. And money, who's this according to? This is according to Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Af tibor lo kivu el psachim v'chovo shekavu lehem zman. So the tibor were only makiv in the bama gadola. They're only makiv the psachim and any other chova shekavu lehem zman. Any other carbon that had a set time to be brought, that was on the bama gadola. But a chova, let's say a chatas, for example, that has to be brought, but has no set time to be brought, may not be brought on a bama gadola or a bama ketana. So, in other words, a bama ketana, any neder or nedava can be brought on a bama ketana. I want to say, I'm feeling very happy today. I want to show a karas tov to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to bring an ola today. You could bring a neder or nedava on your own personal bama ketana. And a bama gadola, what could you bring? You could bring a carbon that's man kavua, like the carbon tamid or carbon psachim. But anything else that's a chova, but not a kavua, zman, that cannot be brought anywhere.
In those days, there was no
chathas, I guess.
Chathas.
Yeah, that's what comes out. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that belongs to churches. I'm talking about Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Bebraita, Shekol Korbanot, Shetzdez, Yibur, Shekarbu, Bereshkan, Bamidbar, Karbu, Gambi, Oil, Moed, Begital, Ahalpi, Shelo, Haya, Ela, Bamagdala, Mikivan, Shemitbar, Shemishatin, Omer, Shetaf, Korbanot, Adobot, Psachim, Previm, Vedala, Dehainu, Korbanot, 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 Korbanot,